This episode of FilmSack is brought to you by Audible.com. A world of audiobooks awaits you at Audible.com. If you like fantasy and science fiction as much as I do, you have no idea what you're missing. Why don't you go get a free one? Choose from over 150,000 titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. Most importantly, a free one on us. Go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
I reckon we've gone a little over 2 miles and there's still no sign of her at all. I guess that's better than finding blood or remains.
Unless he's gobbled her down completely.
Jesus, give me that thing. Look, I've told you, most jungle apes eat only fruit.
Most jungle apes don't have a size 90 foot.
Look, the men have had it. I'm going to pitch camp to the first level ground.
What are you, a bunch of old ladies? Come on, we're getting our second wind. Let's get going.
That's it, Jack. Keep moving.
Lights, camera, Kong! This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. This is episode 243, and I'm joined tonight by Brian. He's not going to eat her. Why did he take her, Dunaway?
Gobble her up. Hey, you know, using my greeting consists of some type of fabrication that I make up, but sometimes real life is stranger than fiction. So I'm going to read a little quote about this movie prior to its release in 76 by De Laurentiis, who produced this movie.
All right.
Here it goes.
All right.
No one cry when Jaws die, but when the monkey die, people gonna cry. Intellectuals gonna love Kong, even film buffs who love the first Kong gonna love ours. Why? Because I no give them crap. I kid you not, that is what he said.
Amazing. Really? Oh. Is this real?
Is that
translated
reels
from Italian or whatever?
Right.
Is?
No, I was going to read it with an Italian accent, but I said, no, I think I'm going to give it straight up because the truth needs to be read in my native tongue.
Or I like that Brian says, or whatever he is. I like
or
that.
Whatever,
whatever
he is.
Whatever he is.
Also with us, Randy, the dude abides by stealing ship supplies and hiding in boats. He's not invited on Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man. This new ape has come to light, and this chick we fished up, man, she capsized herself. Well, sure, man. Look at it. A young trophy actress in the parlance of our times, you know, and she owes money all over town, including to known oceanographers. And that's cool. That's cool. I'm saying she needs sleep, man. And of course, they're going to say that she didn't get it because she wants more, man. She's got to feed the monkey. I mean, hasn't that ever occurred to you, man? Uh-huh. Sir?
Yeah.
Man, Randy does abide.
If you're not into that whole brevity thing.
Yeah.
Do you know, I am totally, every time I see the dude or watch that movie, I always think of Randy. True story.
Really? That's weird.
I feel like Randy lives the philosophy of the dude.
Yeah, well, he abides for sure.
Right.
Finally with us, Brian, hot monkey breath blow dryer at your service, Ibbot.
Oh, I bet that couldn't have smelled good either.
Nope.
Production diary, day 25. The long hours are starting to get to me. Dino De Laurentiis is a big jerk, or whatever he is, and the food on set is horrendous. Charles Grodin keeps stealing my cassette player, and it's so freaking hot I can't stand it. I hear some new guy named George is making a space movie in Tunisia. I might see if I can get transferred over there. Nice. Production diary, day 26. I got to poke Jessica Lange's boobs with a giant mechanical ape finger for 6 hours today. I have the best job in the world.
True story,
oh,
man.
Oh, that's the best.
That was amazing puppetry.
That was incredible.
It was, yeah.
You're like
and the ape finger was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Right.
The miniature stuff in this film didn't do it for me, but the full size, like the ape hand and stuff, I couldn't tell. I was just like, they got a big ape.
Yeah, it's
a big
ape. Bad. The only problem with that big hand stuff is how slow it was. And so you'd see more of a frenetic ape suit man, and then suddenly the hand would go real slow. But still, given the time and given what they were doing back then, I remember having a, I don't know if you guys had this, but my mom bought me a book. And the book.
Wait.
Whoa, that's cool.
We have those in Colorado too.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. It was this book all about the making of this movie. And I would have been like 6 or 7 when the movie came out. Flopped that book open, and it was all about these giant mechanical arms. And there were these big spreads, multi-page spreads, showing lots of little dudes working on this giant arm. And it looked just like the ape arm at the end with the hand. And Jessica Lange's kind of standing there like she's taking a break. And then this huge, long, hairy arm. And on the other end, like big mechanical, like crane stuff sticking out of it and like metal bits. I used to think that was one of the coolest books in the world.
It really is.
Oh, it was so rad because it showed how you made all that stuff.
Right. I've seen production stills. I didn't have the book. You know, we didn't have books when I was a kid. But
no, you're South Carolina. Let's make that clear. All right.
Right. Yeah. So, but when I got older, we did have magazines. And I remember seeing that in those magazines.
Yeah, it was
so
great. Wasn't that stuff cool? And the thing, really cool. I mean, at the time, it was all about animatronics or stop motion. That's the way, those one of the two ways you went. And, you know, Lucas went all animatronics. These guys decided to go this way. And in retrospect, given where we were with stop motion then, I think I probably preferred this, you know?
I think this is the smart move because if even today, this, it still holds up enough that you can at least go, all right, I'm going to suspend my disbelief. I'm going to try really hard. Because this follows up after Jaws. And Jaws was a great monster movie, and it was mechanical. Now, I don't know if Scott's got a lot of trivia on this, but the original robot Kong they built, it was a disaster.
Was it? Tell us more. Yeah. What else do you know about this disaster robot Kong?
The robot.
They put this in the book.
Right. This popped in the book, but you were only looking at the pictures.
Yeah.
But basically, at the very end, you'll know that notice they made a nice little comment towards the creators of the robot, which they practically did not use, except in a couple of scenes. And you can really tell it when it's the full Kong robot thing. It is bad. It is horrendous. It does not look realistic at all. And they had spent a lot of money making that and getting it ready. And then they looked at it and said, this looks stupid.
Really?
And so they put a man in a suit.
Well, and it was Tim Baker, by the way. Or not Tim.
Right.
Is it Tim Baker?
Not Jim Baker.
That would be really funny. Put your hands on my head. Let's see. I'll find it right here. It's
Baker. Where's Baker at?
Rick Baker.
Rick Baker.
It was one of the short names.
It says he was uncredited, but he was, I don't know if they added those credits later on.
At the end. Didn't that seem like an apology to you, end credits?
It was an apology, basically.
That's weird, because they said, at the end it says, the producers of this film would like to acknowledge, and they list off all these people who built the
Dave
big.
Dave Laurentiis.
Yeah. Was that him saying, sorry, you did good work, and here you go? It must
pretty
have been.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that must have been. That was weird.
It was uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable.
Well, you don't see it in movies a lot, and usually maybe you want to fade out before you show us that. Like, let us still absorb. I mean, as a kid, I was still kind of getting used to the idea that King Kong had just fallen to his death and all that cracked cement, and it was, you know, still kind of a shocking moment. Mm-hmm. Give me a minute to let that soak in, let the emotions pass through me. Don't immediately go, we didn't give enough credit to these four jackasses, so.
Well, and, I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on the end of the movie yet, but That was a moment where I found myself thinking about how when you're crediting people who did work, I'm okay if I didn't see the work, you know, like I understand your need to give them credit. And so give them credit. But blasting that in my face as the very first thing I see at the end of the movie, I disagree with.
It's a little much. Yeah.
Like, because I didn't see their work, you know,
was that credit added later, or did that go to theatrical release?
I don't know.
Hard to know, right? Because this film got all chopped up for television, right?
Yeah,
and it's gone through.
It actually got extended.
There's probably director's cuts and
they got
extended for TV.
They got rid of Ibbot's finger scene, probably.
Well, they did for TV, sure.
Yeah. That was creepy. All right, wait. Before, you know what? Sure. There's a lot more to say. Let's let Fletcher explain more.
King Kong, eager to exploit petroleum reserves on a Pacific isle, an oil tycoon assembles a crew and sets sail, rescuing a starlet en route. On the island, they discover an enormous gorilla and bring it back to New York City, where it escapes and raises mayhem.
Where it steps on a mustachioed, what's his name?
Yes, Charles Grodin. Charles Grodin. My God.
Spent the whole movie waiting for him to get squished.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I got to say, before we get too far in, this movie was one of the first movies that I ever saw that felt epic, because up until this point, I had mostly watched TV shows, and this movie was the first movie that I really felt like was epic.
You see it in the theater at the time, or
no? I did not, but you know, I'd seen Star Wars and Superman, and I thought those were epic. But this was the first movie that I saw on TV that was a movie that I caught second run, because I was too young for this when it first came out. I was only like four.
Yeah.
So, but it was the first time I realized that I loved big epic movies. So it holds a place for me.
So let's define epic, because I can't help wanting the word to somehow include a certain length, a certain duration of the film. You can't call, for some reason, I don't think you can call a 75-minute film an epic. Yeah, and I don't know why. What's the minimum?
It's got to be at least 2 hours, right?
Yeah. Does it?
Two parts when they show it on TV.
Well, I think we all intrinsically know that, but the question's still a good one. Why do we feel that way? I don't know. I don't know why I feel like a movie needs to be at least 2 hours. That's weird. Yeah. Never thought about it before. But my guess is epicness comes in a few forms. One is it has to be a length where everything feels like it's given the room it needs to breathe to be epic. So that's the time part, and then the rest of it needs to show us things we've either never seen before, or for whatever reason emotionally resonates in a way that we haven't felt before. You know, you could say Star Wars is an epic because it does both those things. It has the time to do what it wants to do, and then does things we've never seen or felt. But you could say they try to do that with, say, the Transformers movie. Those are definitely long. But they don't resonate.
Would you take the answer provided by the Directors Guild of America as to what makes a film an epic?
I probably won't, but I'd love to hear
it. I want to hear it, yeah.
Really?
I want to hear it.
I reject your assertion.
Epic has nothing to do with the size of the cast, the budget, or any other physical aspects of the production. Epic scale is a measure of the scope of a character's inner journey. Look, for example, at Sidney Pollack's classic Jeremiah Johnson, one of my all-time favorites. Who wrote this, by the way? Now that I see there's a Mayan here. Randall Wallace.
Okay.
All right, Randall.
Randall.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Film has very few characters, almost no sets, having been shot in the Rocky Mountains. Film's running time is short, and even its score is simple, characterized by a single male voice and a guitar. But what an epic Jeremiah Johnson is. A sailor leaves the sea to become a mountain man.
Okay. I'm with Randy. I don't believe that guy's description either. I think
But Randall Wallace ought to know. I mean, he's responsible for Braveheart and The Man in the Iron Mask and Secretariat, you know, like
We Were Soldiers, Pearl Harbor.
Epic.
I don't think he knows between length and epic either.
Well, okay, I'll give you that.
Of course he's trying to shy away from the size question, sure.
So he's a production guy, right? That's his
deal.
He's
a writer.
Okay. Oh, all right. He writes. Okay.
And I feel like there is something to it in length and in the number of words in the script and whatever, but there's also this expansiveness that we all seem to agree on. Like, there are big, wide open spaces. Mm-hmm. You don't ever watch a movie like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and say, that was epic. No, it all happened in one room.
Yeah.
You know,
Breakfast Club is not an epic, and My Dinner with Andre is not an epic.
Right.
But Far and Away, I would say, would be an
is
epic
somehow,
because of those.
Yeah,
the grand scale of it.
Yeah,
sure.
So that's a thing, but then it also has to pass some measure of quality, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like just going out and taking pictures of big open spaces and mountains or space and planets or whatever doesn't get you there.
Sure.
We don't call something epic unless we think it's really good.
Can it be, okay, let's further dig here. Can it be other genres outside of drama or adventure? Can it be a comedy? Can there be an epic comedy that isn't just, you know, modern nomenclature idiot people going, oh dude, that movie was so funny, it was epic.
Would you
mean
consider like Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile epics because of their scenery, their location?
Yeah, but
I think there's a quality question that comes into it as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely
quality. It has to be a good movie to be an epic.
Could you consider The Incredibles to be epic?
Yes, I would.
Interesting.
I would. Yeah, I would. I, in fact, there are a lot of animated films I would call epic.
You know, I'm feeling a little bit. Feeling a little bit silly of just throwing out the word epic now. I'm going to have to hold that word in reserve.
It provided a lot of conversation. Epic. Right. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of comments on the show notes for this one, or the posting for this one. Well, sure,
and it leads us to, why was this film so long? I mean, yeah, we can probably agree that there's some epic sort of scale to it. But why was it so long? Like, this is a story that I can tell in about 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. And it is a story, if you're just trying to get information across, but you're not trying to get information across. You're trying to get entertainment across.
Yeah,
and
but
a
I'd
feeling.
Like to... I'd like to point out, it took Daniel Tosh like 23 minutes to tell the story of the human centipede. Like, this movie doesn't have that much to tell.
Yeah.
You know?
It's basically, here are your parts of your King. Here's your King Kong movie. It's the epic, there's that word. It's the adventurous sea voyage out to the mysterious place. Then it's the, oh no, there's a huge thing here, and it's always halfway through till you see anything. And this is true of this movie, and it was true of Peter Jackson, it's true of the original. It's always halfway through, and then you get to see the monkey. Then you get the monkey gets knocked out because a bunch of barrels of chloroform that were conveniently with you, and then
they drop those.
No, they had those delivered by helicopter.
Yeah, sure. how do you convince the freaking oil company? Hey, yeah, we need about 60 barrels of chloroform.
Because they're in the oil. They're the oil company, man. They are. You know.
Can I have a trouble? By the way?
Well, before you do, I would say it's a 40-20-40 break. So you got 40% of your movie go find the shit. 20% of, ooh, we found the shit. And then another 40% of, we're bringing the shit back to New York with us.
Basically, every King Kong movie ever is an origin story and a sequel.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically, that's exactly right. And they all feel like they have to do it. And Peter Jackson really felt like he had to do it. Mm-hmm. And he pulled that thing out to 3 hours long. And
but
even,
wasn't this kind of, and I'm putting way more into it than needs to be there, but I really felt like the movie was studying the idea of sexuality in kind of a Freudian way, and what it meant as people, civilized people versus savage people. There's a lot of things that I felt that I maybe interpreted, and I felt like I got something from this that sounds like you guys are like, I just want to see an ape movie.
Yeah, I want to point out, I'm not saying the film is shallow when I say that it doesn't need to be so long. Like, there's a lot of subtext to a lot of different points that the movie makes. And I get that. You have to take time sometimes to...
All the way from Deep Throat's discussion, where the yacht explodes.
That's just because that was hot on the minds of people then. It's just like a it was like, it's like us in a movie today going, that Twitter, right? All right, get out of the boat. It's going to explode. Like,
but wasn't a huge exploration, because this movie was a retelling of something from 33, which was, I don't know, maybe a little more conservative. And so we're talking about a sexual revolution that was going on early in the 70s. I think there's more going on here, but I can't prove that because this is not a fan favorite. People don't love this movie.
What do you think that is they're saying?
Philosophical.
What do you think it is they're saying specifically?
I think it was just really just exploring the idea.
Of what? Of just sex, period?
Of sexuality and civilization versus savagery. And
well, the only part I got out of it that may have been some of that, and it goes back to Ibbot's intro, which is him fiddling with her top with his finger and grinning the whole time like some kind of freak show.
That was creepy. It's crap.
Yeah, they were, to me, that was like, oh, we're exploring, I guess, perverts? Or what I mean?
Exactly.
Like creepy dudes?
I'm bigger than you, therefore I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And, oh, look, there goes your necklace, and I've got amazing control with this finger.
Which is, it's pretty clear that's intended to stand as a counterpoint to how King Kong treats her.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And that's all well and good, but you got to remember the context of the film is it's not Hollywood gone crazy, it's energy company gone crazy.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're in the energy crisis, and it has to be set then. And if you're watching this movie in the late 90s, it probably doesn't
That's a great point. I forgot about the gas shortages that were going on then, because that's why they had the giant gas freaking station thing.
Yeah.
And that's why they were exploring, because they were the explorers of that time. Whereas in the 33 movie and later on the 2005, when was it that he made his new one? the New King Kong. Was it 2005?
05, I think. 03, 05.
Yeah, right. So back in the 70s, it was definitely, that would be the reason why we'd be exploring untouched country, would be to look for oil.
I guess.
They got grief for that. I've seen a lot of people hate that and go, I can't believe you ruined the purity of the original movie with your stupid changing it to oil people. And I'm like, dude, it was based on an idea. It was It was based on an idea. There's not like some kind of great.
I think it works better than one Hollywood megalomaniac driving all of these problems. I feel like it works better.
I completely agree. Because the other idea is just real shallow. It's like, I've got an idea that'll entertain the masses. They'll never see anything like it. See? And they want to bring back this freak show. Basically, it's the crazed circus manager who's found the perfect bearded woman or whatever. That wants to show this thing off, and I've never really bought as a, and again, I didn't grow up in the 30s. Had I, maybe I'd have felt differently, but that just feels like a very dead trope. But this guy, this, you know, Grodin mustache, that stuff's weird, but
he's hilarious.
Idea of the corporations,
he's a caricature of, yeah, I mean,
he's totally a caricature. He's great though. I love Charles Grodin. By the way, he's like a little old raisin now.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him just yesterday.
Really? He's on. Still does stuff. He was on Louie for like 5 episodes. And
right. Yeah. It was. He was on Louie, and someone interviewed him for local TV. You know, they do local entertainment news.
Yeah.
And he's adorable. Yeah. I've never loved the guy, and this movie made him really hard to love. And I just spent the whole movie waiting for him to die, and they took too long to kill him off. By the time they killed him off, I didn't care about him killing me off anymore.
Well, Ibby, you and I have talked about that great movie with him and Robert De Niro.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah, Midnight Run.
Good. Oh, if you don't like Grodin, watch Midnight Run.
I love Midnight Run.
What a great movie that was. They don't make him like that no more.
No, they really don't.
Yeah, tell you
they
what.
They don't make him like that anymore.
But wait a minute. They do, right?
Like, do they?
There was a Melissa McCarthy film a couple of years ago that was just like
sort of no that was
Identity Thief or something like
that. I didn't see it, but I'm guessing it's more, I would say it's more akin to this new one that Sofia Vergara and
Reese Witherspoon. What was the one a couple of years back with, was it Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie?
Yes,
somebody had to get what's her face, Rachel was in it. Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, the Mexican one. Get Out of Mexico.
We're the Millers? What are you talking about?
No.
What are y'all people talking about?
All right, hold on. Looking this up.
All right.
But it was one that was just like, it was basically a bounty hunter had to go back and get this woman. They had a previous relationship, and he had to get her across the country.
Yeah, and it was what's his face? Gangly guy. He's always Vince Vaughn. Wasn't it Vince Vaughn and her?
No, that's The Breakup, isn't it? Oh my God! Every movie by Jennifer Aniston.
All these movies are the same.
Yeah. Well, while you find that,
but I don't want to really argue that. You're right. It's a Midnight Run's a good movie, and you're right to say they don't make them like that anymore. It just reminds me of a bunch of other movies.
Yeah.
Okay. So, was there a bounty hunter movie with Jennifer Aniston called The Something? Yeah, it was The Bounty Hunter.
It was called The Bounty Hunter.
Oh, it was the other guy that we like. Gerard Butler, said that.
Right. That's not even that old.
It was kind of new. 4 years ago.
Yeah, post 5 years ago. Yeah, post 300 is when that came out.
Yes.
That's how you look at Gerard
Butler.
It was when
we were all realizing that maybe we really don't like Gerard Butler after all.
Yeah. No, I still like Gerard Butler. Come on.
And you haven't seen The Bounty Hunter. Yeah.
You're right. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen any of his rom-coms.
Yeah. So I guess I'm good then.
Yeah, this madness, great. But
sure. I'm with you there.
I'll tell you who didn't get enough screen time for me, and that was Non. Non was not enough.
Non, wait, who the hell's Non?
From Superman, Zod's muscle. Zod's muscle.
Yeah, I recorded his voice since we've only heard him as a mutant Superman before, but he was in there. At first, I thought he was Jaws from the 007 movies.
I did, too.
Yeah, I did, too. As a matter of fact, I even put in my notes, wow, what if Jaws, Odo, and the dude went off to find a big monkey?
I like your story idea right there. It's pretty good. Yeah,
that's right. I'll change that to
James Ashmore Creelman. He is the creator, writer of King Kong. He wrote King Kong in 1933, and he's credited in every King Kong movie as either writer or, you know, thanks to or whatever, kind of like Stan Lee was or is and everything now. he died at 46, and I thought, well, what happened to this guy? That's young. Shouldn't be dying that early. What's going on here? So I looked into it.
Got stepped on by an ape.
Close. He climbed a very tall building in NYC and jumped off of it.
Hey, why not?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yep. Said, that's it. I'm out. And jumped. So I don't know what happened there, but sad.
Maybe because he never could get another good movie going. Was that the only thing he ever did? King
no,
Kong?
He did a bunch of popular stuff. Trying to find the names of the things he's done. Hold on here.
So he's responsible for The Most Dangerous Game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. The Last Performance.
Yeah.
Wow, these are some classics. It's been made a million times.
Hold on, yeah. There's more.
He wrote The Last Days of Pompeii.
Don't know that one.
he wrote Dancers in the Dark. You know that one.
Yeah.
Is that like Dirty Dancing? What is that like? Is that
you don't know that one.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Died in 1941.
Yeah, dude killed himself in 41, which was kind of a scary year to be alive.
Yeah.
Like 1941, mm-hmm. The whole world was on the head of a pin.
Yeah, it could have been that he was feeling that or whatever, but there is something about hearing somebody kill themselves in 41 that seems less severe than it does now. I don't know why I feel that way. I'm sure it's unfounded that I feel that way, but for whatever reason, when I hear about, you know, old Williamson McGillicuddy shot himself today in 1829, you're like, oh, well, probably had great reasons. You know,
two distance away from me. Yeah, that's just not.
It's not even distance. It's just, I don't know. Contextually, I don't feel the same cultural sting of modern suicide. Right.
Wait, yeah, because I mean, back then you would probably have very little help if you were depressed.
Not only that, but when it happened, they'd go, "Okay, boys, roll up onto the building. We've got another jumper today." Like they don't even like it's to me. It felt like more. Oh, we've lost three more today, Captain. Like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that it's wrong, guys. I'm sure that I've got like movie. My memories or my right. thinking about time before I was ever on this planet. I think of
well,
it
you
as
know,
movie
during the
tropes.
Great Depression, this was you know we always perceive that as just people jumping out of buildings left and right, and so I guess this wasn't that long after
yeah,
that.
But
and it was
everybody's
a time
parents
really
always
tough.
Died. Everybody always had our sister raised us from age four. We never had our parents died before we were three. You know, there right. was always that thing, and it was in that voice, and it was always so. Charge forward. Like I've been watching the Roosevelts from Ken Burns, fantastic documentary, and they're talking about during Teddy Roosevelt's time, people dying left and right on people in people's families, one of his kids, his wife, and they're like, the next day he was back in Washington helping do the people's business. Like it's just like move on. It's weird. They just move on from stuff.
They did. Was it Abbott and Costello? Was it Costello who lost his child
and went
on stage like that next day? I mean, it was just
that
night. Yeah.
I feel like they just had
a
different.
I never heard about that.
I think they had a different idea because people died more often. You didn't have antibiotics. You didn't have modern medicine in a lot of cases. And I don't mean Costello's time's different, but like late 1800s, early 19th century, it just feels like. Yeah, he got what happened? The cholera swept through town and wiped out 90 of us. Well, all right. What do you want to do now? Like it just felt like they that was not expected, but it was not right. unusual to have something like that. Those calamities happen. Today they happen and we're so much better at this. People live to be 95. Like
there's also a lot more of us.
Yeah.
So when you hear there was a measles outbreak in Orange County, you're like, okay. I mean, it's such a smaller percentage of people.
Yeah. Back then it was just like you know, we've lost an entire generation. But go ahead and celebrate, you know? Like, it's weird. Weird time.
All right.
Anyway.
Let's talk about the size of the monkey.
Well, hold on a second. So, something that Brian Dunaway talked about earlier, I wanted to bring up again, because when you talked about seeing this on TV, that jogged a whole big memory. This was, I want to say this was a big movie event, because I remember seeing this for the first time on TV as well. And I looked it up, and they actually did, it was a two-night, 3 hour, so they upped it to 3 hours.
Right, right.
They
you
added
thought
a bunch of scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. And then they ran it on two consecutive nights. And they added 45 minutes of extra footage, like a guy, a Mexican crew member named Garcia spying on Duan while she's showering, and then a scene where Jack tosses him overboard with a life preserver.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to the I'm sure Luis Guzman would have played this had he been around
right.
in 76.
Right, exactly.
That's amazing. So that character's not in it otherwise. We don't know who that is.
It doesn't look like it, no. Because the way it's described in the trivia is or in alternate versions.
That's great.
I think that's the reason why I remember it as being such an epic event. It's probably one of the things they said in the advertisements, probably like, join in Tuesday night on NBC, the epic event of King Kong.
Right. Here, if this isn't like extra stuff just to kind of pad the movie, an extended scene of Kong climbing the World Trade Center and pausing to rest a moment about halfway up.
5 minutes him going,
how are we going to film 3 hours? One sec, I'm good. Hold on, just one second.
All right, let's go really again. Funny.
Oh, that was the other thing. Most people are complaining. The big complaints I read on like message boards on IMDb were not about the motivations of oil companies versus, you know, maniacal Hollywood people. It was more about that they used the trade centers as the building that he scaled instead of the Empire State Building, right, which is so iconic for the King Kong series, and trying to, which is literally impossible, to push 9/11 out of your head when talking about these towers, just purely on the basis of those are more modern edifices. Here is this giant monkey climbing them. It does feel a little bit like saying Dr. Doom is an angry blogger, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
right. Well, and it's funny because it turns the danger into... It decreases the amount of danger because the top of the Empire State Building is a point.
Yep.
Right.
And you can just hop back and forth like a platform jumper back and forth between the two tops of the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And you can have Jeff. You can sit down up there. You can hang out.
You can have Jeff Bridges on the other side rooting you on.
Hey, right. You know. And they'd only been dedicated like from like 73. So they were super new during this time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. They were 69 to 73, right?
I want to say.
It was relatively new. That's my point is it would be like today, it'd be like saying, oh, that new building in Dubai is where King Kong's going to climb.
Right. The Patronus Towers or something.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And I can see why people would be irritated back then because that would seem weird. To me as a kid, I was like, oh, that's, I don't even know what these buildings are. That's great. That's that seems fine. Go ahead and climb those. But it is unfortunate in an era where a lot of people go back and take the towers out of their movies or TV show intros. And Sopranos did it. Freaking Friends did it. Like everyone takes the towers out in edits. This would be a hard movie to do that with.
You couldn't really do that with this one.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. Right. Wouldn't work really well. And when that helicopter hit the side, it was like a little bit of, oh, God.
Yeah.
Right. That's not good there. But how did they know? It's like the teaser trailer for the first Spider-Man where he's got a whip between them trying to catch a helicopter.
Right.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Now, you made it.
Have you guys seen the poster artwork and stuff for all the King Kong for this particular movie?
Are there more than just the couple they have on there on the IMDb?
Yeah, there's some more out there. I mean, go out and really look for the production, the teaser stuff they did for posters and stuff. This King Kong is weird looking. It looks nothing like the King Kong you see in the movie, but the artwork is just, I think it's terrifying.
Who made this 1967's King Kong Escapes? Y'all need to see that one. Holy shit. Hold on. I'm going to put this in the chat because man, that just that poster is enough for me to want to see this. I don't know what's happening there.
Oh, wow.
Like a robot Kong?
Yeah, Frankenstein's Sohn.
This is the robot Kong, right?
There's a robot Kong?
Yeah, this is
and the real Metal Kong Man is Kong. Standing next to him.
Okay. Yeah.
Holding a spare hand, it looks like.
This is a Japanese film. Oh, this really makes me want to see this. But do they have the rights to just say...
Who has the rights? If you're in Japan, it's like, what are they going to do? let's just make a movie.
Is that how it works?
In 1967. Uh-huh.
Right.
I guess so. This is like some kind of underground. Oh, look at that suit. I'm just seeing some other photos here. That's amazing. Wow. All right. We saw the wrong movie is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, apparently so. I think we need to see King Kong Lives, too.
Yeah, that'd be all
right. Yeah, that was a follow-up, wasn't it? When was that? Like in 80-something?
1986.
Yep.
Right. And that's when I told you, I sent the little the video clip with Linda Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. An artificial heart, the Kong heart, because he was actually in, he was in a coma.
Yep.
Yeah, 10 years.
The beginning of it takes place right at the end of this movie, where they grab the heart as it's still beating.
I can't believe. Didn't it stop beating though in front of
it
us?
It did stop. Oh, you know, for just
you don't
a
know.
Second,
it,
and then the roll of credits.
Right, it ended so quickly. You don't know.
It went back up. Yeah.
Wow, that's ridiculous. Okay, in 2008, on a David Letterman episode, an episode of The Late Show with David Letterman, Meryl Streep, America's acting queen, revealed that she auditioned for this role of Dwan, but was turned down by Dino De Laurentiis for being ugly.
He said, no.
He said, you're ugly.
You're so ugly.
You ain't got no alibi, yeah. is what his actual words were.
Best part is she claims that he said this in Italian, thinking she didn't know Italian, but she knew a little Italian. So right. She heard him say, stories. She is ugly. We don't want her in our movie.
I like a little Italian on my salad. I know myself.
What?
Yeah, what?
If you get the choice between Meryl Streep and Jessica Lange, 1970s Jessica Lange, they made the right choice.
Gorgeous.
So pretty.
They made the right Sophie's choice on that one.
So sexist, though. Sexist.
Yes. I was really surprised by her piece of trivia that she and a lot of others believe that this film was a huge setback for her in her professional growth.
Really?
It was a Scream Queen kind of movie.
For sure. Oh, no, I agree with that. I'm just saying from 2015 perspective,
yeah.
I'm just looking back at her list, you know, going, well, gosh, it was kind of her first among a dozen awesome films. Like, what's the problem here?
I guess it's because it's prominent or something. Who knows? I think you're... That's a weird way to look back on it, because it literally is her first role. It's the first job she got.
I thought that what she did was amazing. I thought I don't know. Between Charles Grodin and Jessica Lange, I think they both did a great, fantastic. Because imagine trying to act.
What movie did you see? None of this whole. This is all bullcrap. What you're saying?
Let's see. Let's see you try to act like a desperate woman when you got some guy like Brian Ibbett controlling a big mechanical hand at you, and let's see how good your acting skills
are. I don't blame her at all. This isn't a problem with Jessica Lange. I think she's a great actress. I think she's awesome and very, very attractive in this movie, and that's what they were looking for. This is a director's thing. When people come off as extremely dull-headed and lame, and all the men around her act like the most sexist pigs humanly possible, this isn't her. It's just writing. It's bad directing. It's a lot of other stuff.
I'm just afraid to argue with Scott now because he's going to buzz me.
Because we don't have anything.
No, it's just, you know what I'm saying, though. It's not her. She's fine. She's great. But I don't think she does anything amazing here. She's being asked to do really run-of-the-mill crap.
Right. And actually, she kind of has to play a little bit of an idiot, like a kind of a narcissistic bimbo, right? To be able to... Well, okay, I guess we could get married. Sure. I know I just met you like a week ago, but you spotted me with binoculars, so okay.
Yeah.
But the binoculars always made me laugh in this movie. For some reason, everybody had binoculars like a big, giant goober.
They had binoculars, but they couldn't see a 70-foot-tall
right.
ape. I was trying to figure out how tall the ape would actually be, and I spent very inconsistent, and I decided that I'm going with 70 feet, and I'm going to base it on the difference between the size of Jessica Lange and the hand that grips her. That's got to be the best perspective you're going to get, right?
Yeah. Right.
Her autobiography.
Is the hand a little bit less than, 5 foot in width?
Yeah,
you would say
probably.
I'm just guessing. I'm just saying, if she's 5 feet tall and I'm looking at my hand and I'm giving her, I'm saying, okay,
looking at Jessica Lange. Then I'm
compared
looking at
my
hand,
to my hand, that would make her 5 inches tall. And so I'm gonna say he's 70 feet tall.
That sounds about right. Sure,
that's good math. That's good math. Yeah. Hey,
but then when they put a dude in a suit, sometimes he looks 15 feet tall, and sometimes he looks 1,000 feet tall.
Yeah.
And they didn't make like the worst mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. But there were so many times when I'm like, the first time I saw that village, you know, that wall, I'm like, what's that for? What's that wall for?
Yeah.
No, was this your first viewing of the 76 King Kong?
Yes, my first viewing of this one.
This one I've got lots of memories of, but I feel like most are based on that book. Because even just seeing it now and seeing the hand grip around her, I'm like, yep, that's where the foam rubber kicks in. That's where the rubber is. There's mechanical stuff under there. And if I could just move the camera to the left a little bit, I could see where some big metal, like, turbine-looking things are poking in there. Yeah, and, exactly. Like, I was having a hard time separating the two, because I think that's really where most of my memories of this came from. And I had forgotten completely that this was a Jeff Bridges film. I don't know why, but it just completely, like, just not until I turned it on and I went, all right, there's Odo. There's Charles Grodin's mustache. What else we got? Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, what?
I had forgotten as well. And is it just my imagination, or has Jeff Bridges always looked old? How old was he in this movie? Like,
well, he was like 12, and he looks 100. Yeah,
you gotta watch. You gotta watch like Starman. That's when he would shave. So you're basically doing is saying the difference between Jeff Bridges shaved or not.
Right.
So because
actually, for your Bridges shaved or
he looked amazing. This was this moment when he was the Ryan Gosling of the year.
Yeah.
Like right. It was just like he was. Yeah. I was very impressed with
handsome
Jeff Bridges.
Hairy man. Yeah,
I mean, he was hairless in this one. He took his shirt off when he was all like, "Hey, Jessica Lange here, wear my shirt and let's swing down from here. I'm Tarzan." Hey,
he had a little chesty. He had a little. 20, had a little Robin
27,
Williams.
27, by the way.
Oh, he was 27 then. Jeez, well,
older than I thought. Yeah,
he's 66 now, I think. Something like
66,
that.
66, yes.
I want to get back to Randy's movie logic for just a second because there was a couple of things that I was like, I didn't realize back then, but. One of my oldest child was sitting there and went, "That's stupid." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, they just walked around the big door. Just one old Kong just walked around the big door." I'm like, "Right. I never thought of that. Shut up."
Okay, well, how about this? If you can build a 70-foot tall, high, freaking wooden wall, you can build a boat and move to a different island.
One with less clouds.
Yeah, exactly.
And I sure would like to see the sun.
Yeah, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? They were strong though. Also, when they put the big lock in place, you know, the big wiener looking lock.
Mm-hmm. The wiener. It's funny because I wrote that down
too. Wiener lock.
Yeah, that's what it looked
did.
Like.
There was so many sexual things in here, like when Kong went.
Would have had a field day.
Yeah,
he totally would have. When Kong went ape rape on her girl on the girl, and he you know, but he was about to rape her, and then the snake showed up, and I'm like, is that a phallic symbol? Is he ripping his you know what off because he's like, no rape.
Hold on. Was he, I didn't get the impression he was about to rape her.
Did you see those eyes? Those are rape eyes.
Right? Oh, I see what you're saying. the feeling I got from, first of all, the feeling I got from the snake was, ooh, you should have cut this scene out because that looked real bad. That snake was the worst freaking looking snake.
If you had read all of your book, you would know that they had actually, if you hear in a couple of the scenes, you'll hear like pterodactyls. I can't say pterodactyls.
Yeah, pterodactyls. That's
how do you say pterodactyls?
Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl. That's what I said. That's what I said.
Pterodactyl. Dactyl.
That's what I said.
Say it again. Say it one more time. Give it to me one more time.
Pterodactyls.
No, you almost had it. All right, go ahead.
So there was a bunch of they cut a bunch of that stuff because they only had enough budget after making the giant robot Kong to you know show the snake
to
by
make
the
a
way
bad snake, I
think they could have really gotten away with there's plenty of pythons. Why couldn't they have had a real python wrapped around monkey suit man?
Oh yeah, good point. Like that. That'd be all right. Would that have looked bad? I don't know.
That probably could danger issue worse? Of insurance
maybe. I don't know. You if it's a big enough, well, it depends on the python, but if you have one of those like big Britney Spears looking ones. When those get to be full-sized, you know the one she always wrapped around herself?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Always does that.
Those won't hurt you, especially if it's just you. You can pull those things off, whether they try to constrict you or not.
Right. So how do you prefer your Monster Island? Do you prefer King Kong being the sole big inhabitant of Monster Island? Because the natives could have easily have just like had that same kind of worship thing to a snake, to the giant snake. They apparently didn't care about that as much as the...
This is a great giant question. This
snake
the
giant, minded his own
but when
business.
You've got the Peter Jackson had dinosaurs and what other things? I can't remember what other things there were, but it was full of giant monsters.
Once again, my youngest child asked me this question. He's like, "Well, what's King Kong's origin story?" I was like, "Son, this was based on an idea in a script. Right. There's no origin story here."
Well, the old movie 33. Had dinosaurs. I think the original story and novelizations of it always had dinosaurs and prehistoric creatures that he was often fighting or whatever. And there's a bunch of stop motion stuff in that first movie showing that. But as a kid, to me, because this was my point of reference, this one, to me, he was kind of the lone guy. A big snake didn't register with me as yet another big, strange creature. To me, that was just a big snake. So it didn't really have a problem with it. I see the Peter Jackson one in 2005, and I kind of have a repulsion to this idea that Jurassic Park is in there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Okay. So
go ahead, Randy.
I want to answer the question because there's a long moment in this movie where they arrive on Honopu Beach on the island of Kauai, And it is really obvious if you've ever been there. There's nothing that looks like it.
Yeah.
Nothing else looks like it in the world. And it got me thinking about how what I want in my island for King Kong is realism, which is a really hard thing to call for in a movie about a 70-foot-tall ape.
Yeah.
But I want realism. And I'm looking at that landscape, and I'm thinking in that moment, oh, so there's going to be a King Kong on this island. I hope that everything else I see makes sense. Mm. And unfortunately, nothing else I saw makes sense. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like the locals living in a huge place with huge walls. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Right. Like, especially when you've got a beach that they could like, all right, well, if we live by the beach, we could fish and get food from that and water. Yeah.
Right. At least then when King Kong comes over the wall, which he could easily do, unless it's 10,000 right. feet tall, he could easily jump over that wall. At least then you can swim out in the ocean. King Kong can't swim. We're just out here for all day until he goes away.
We proved that wrong anyway. Because remember,
well, I know, but at the time,
she was all like, "I read your book and they can't swim." And I'm like, "How'd you read his book? You're not smart enough to read." And I said, "Shut up, Brian." and then of course he swims across the thing, and I'm like, "All right, whatever." Yeah. Suspended disbelief, doing it.
Yeah. So I accidentally called it Monster Island, which is where Godzilla's from. It's Skull Island. When I did that search for Skull Island, I discovered that it was announced at Comic-Con last year that they are creating a King Kong origin story called Kong Skull Island, nice. Which will be released in 2017.
Oh, you're kidding
now,
me.
That's awesome.
Here's who's attached to this, the cast so far. Only three names in the cast. Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
Who?
Loki.
Oh,
Michael okay. Keaton, yeah, yeah.
Birdman.
Okay.
Birdman.
And J.K. Simmons.
Whoa, really?
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's weird.
Got some angry acting all ready to go.
Right.
Is what that is.
Exactly.
Flash,
Birdman, so, and Loki right? chasing after Big Monkey.
Sure.
So does that mean that the Birdman's going to be all dressed up in a King Kong thing and all going to see his
It would
chin,
be great if it was, right? Walking behind the Birdman, like providing narration.
Yeah,
but this is supposed to be the origin story, which is interesting, which means that hopefully this movie doesn't end with him coming to New York and climbing a building.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, you know what? When you first mentioned it, I got nervous. I'm actually kind of interested now. You know, I mean, it's not that I think it'll be great or anything, but I wouldn't it be nice to see something other than it feels like the Spider-Man story. Don't tell me that again.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
You know, enough let's do times. Something else. And I don't know how we connect with the ape in this one though. Like, is there a way to do it? Or is there even an ape at the center of it? Does Kong even feature? Does he feature as a group of other apes? Is this the story of the rest of his kind being wiped out? Or why is he the lone ape?
So you're
ape?
Talking kind of like a Harry and the Hendersons. Kind of thing.
Kinda? Kinda?
I'm the last of my kind. I mean, I'm angry.
In a more dramatic way, sure. Now, all this being said and all these criticisms aside, you guys can tell me. I don't want to assume, but I may be the only one here that liked the Peter Jackson King Kong. I liked it a lot, in fact.
I liked it too.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah. I don't remember it.
Yeah. I watched it,
but I don't remember
it. I remember thinking the ape was amazing and the tech was incredible and that the story is the same as it always is, so that wasn't anything new.
I remember thinking that it was a spectacle because it had Jack Black in it.
Right, I forgot Jack Black was in it. Mm. Isn't that weird?
That was actually my favorite thing. I thought he did that was actually one of the first time I saw him in a more... He's still silly, but it was kind of like a stab at being serious. Somewhat.
Wasn't it also it was set in the 30s.
Yeah, because it was 1933. It was kind of... Yeah, it was an homage to the 33.
I appreciated that, I think.
And, if they do this origin story right, they make it the story that that Jeff Bridges talks about, right? The legendary, you know, the guy discovered this island and said there was a big ape on it kind of thing that...
There's a big ape on that island, guys. Get out of here.
You know, the guy whose boat blew off course and...
Right.
J.K. Simmons, Captain Flim Flam, and he's going to discover this island and...
Don't call me Captain Flim Flam. It's Colonel.
It's Colonel Flim Flam. Now get out of here. There's a big giant on that island.
I'm kind of semi-interested in that. If they can flesh that out and make it interesting. I mean, it's just such an iconic thing. And there's a handful of these in Hollywood. There's this. You could even go back to the ancient monster stuff like, Dracula and all that if you wanted to. But there's certain archetypes that never go away that will always keep cropping up.
And they keep getting remade.
Yeah, they keep getting remade. So this is at least a chance to not do that exactly.
I don't think we've like killed the crap out of the idea of King Kong. Like, Godzilla in Japan has been like, you know, they've done everything they could possibly ever think of. I don't think he's really, we haven't rape-aped our King Kong apes.
Well, no, we haven't done anything other than the template, right? Go to the island, grab the monkey, go to New York, monkey dies.
Monkey dies. Repeat. Bummer.
So the problem is breaking out of that template is so corny. Like, for example, imagine where a film where you have a character who has a psychic connection with King Kong, and you give
kind of
King
like
Kong
kind of thing.
Yeah, you give King Kong an inner voice that this person can hear. I hate this idea so much.
I love this idea.
Can we get Cyndi Lauper as the person who can communicate with?
Imagine there's more than one Kong, and there's a family of them, and like every way you go,
add an S to it.
Meet the Kongs.
Yeah, about a very Christmas Kong, and the Christmas will be spelled with a K, and it'll be the family of Kong celebrating their Skull Island holiday, and basically. The whole entire idea, in my opinion, of King Kong is to say, ooh, scary thing we don't understand. Ooh, we're a little bit sympathetic now. Ooh, man is terrible. We've killed the thing we just got to know.
Right.
I don't know that you need to call it King Kong to keep doing that. I think you can call it other things. And there are plenty of other examples of that. Even Mighty Joe Young was kind of that, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
And didn't
Mighty Joe Young was a little more, it was a little more personal. I think that was the whole idea. I think it took away the monster part of it and made it, you know, save the ape kind of thing.
But it's the Hulk, dude. I just watched him do it again in the Avengers 2 the other night. It's the same exact thing. It's this big misunderstood rage thing that only she can calm the savage beast.
Right.
In this case, Jessica Lange. In that other case,
and you know, the Hulk fits on your list perfectly. There will be another Hulk movie every 15 years for the rest of time.
Yeah,
because basically because that story of Banner,
it's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm hoping secretly that it's a Planet Hulk movie coming next, but that could just be me.
That would be great.
How great would that be?
Here's something that I didn't realize. So when I was looking, when I found Kong Skull Island, did you know that the, and not the Son of Kong where the mechanical Kong comes into play, but there was a sequel released that was a return expedition to Skull Island where they discover Kong's son. So there's the whole family thing.
Where's dad?
It came out the same year as the first movie. Both movies came out in 1933. King Kong and the Son of Kong.
Wow.
Right.
Really?
They rushed that thing into production and
back to back, man.
This is great.
Exactly.
And at the time, that stuff was taken very seriously, right? Like, didn't they see the King Kong thing as like one of the first examples of truly mass market adventure, whatever? And to turn it around that quick. Well, they didn't know what to do. This hadn't been established, right? Like, we didn't have the Harry Potter book 6, part 1 and 2 ideas yet.
Right.
Plus, it only took like a week to make a movie back in 1933.
That's a good point.
Come on.
Now, I want to amend what I said a minute ago. I think that the King Kong as kaiju format could work over and over as long as King Kong himself is just the kaiju. And the story is about other people doing other things and having their other conflicts or whatever. I think it's okay.
So you're saying we can't have a pure just follow the ape movie. We need to have a story going along.
No, nor could we have a pure follow the Titanic as it runs into an iceberg. We have to have all this other story in order for it to be a great film.
Totally agree with that. And
so wait,
here's your idea.
You're justifying the hour and 38 minutes this movie was?
Hour and 38? Which one did you watch? Mine was 2 hours, 3 minutes.
138 minutes is what I meant.
Okay, thank goodness, because I would have been pissed if there was a shorter one I didn't get to see.
I'm not justifying it for this one. This one dragged on and on. But I'm saying in a future film, I could see dragging on and on while telling the story of Rose and Jack falling in love against everybody else's will.
Right. And, what if you do some crossovers? We've had Aliens versus Predator. That kind of made some sense.
King Kong versus Titanic.
King Kong Pacific
King
Rim.
Kong's. King Kong sinks the Titanic.
No, Pacific Rim. Robots sent to the island to rid the world finally of this giant race of apes. Turns out there's a bunch there, not just one.
Race apes.
And then you go the full kaiju where it's just, because I kind of hated Pacific Rim, and I don't love where And we've talked about this. I did not like Pacific Rim. I thought it was terribly written. I think it was fun for what it looked like, but that is that's a bad movie. I want to see a good Pacific Rim movie. That is to say, one where they fight giant apes.
Well, we're only about a year and a half away from the next Pacific Rim movie, so
hopefully they can improve it, because I thought that first one was a slog and I was bored. I was really bored. And I didn't expect to be. I didn't go in there thinking I would be. I came out going, wow, Del Toro and I, we need to see other people for a while. Because I love his movies, but that I thought that was a stinker. I don't know why. I know it's pretty divisive. I've yet to... Justin Robert Young and I agree on this point, and we were noting when we did a spoiler cast about it that there has never been so much... It felt like at the time anyway, there was so much polarization. You either really liked it or you did not like it. I didn't talk to too many people that were just like, yeah, it was okay. Like, I never ran into that.
I enjoyed wasting my 2.5 hours. Yeah, yeah, it was good. It was all right.
That's true of a lot of films like that, though. Like Cloverfield, I remember walking out of it, and there was like a split. Yeah, you either loved it or hated it.
You either loved or puked.
Yeah. Right. The camera style. I really liked Cloverfield. I liked what it tried to do.
You were a fan, but that was mainly because What's-Her-Name is in it. She's hot. What's her name?
Oh, Lizzie Kaplan,
yeah,
right.
Dude.
No, I'm a fan because it's the first monster movie, at least the first one I can remember, where you see things from the non-army and executives, presidential branch deciding what they're going to do. It's like, here's what the average doofus would be running around doing in Manhattan while this crap is going on.
Go ahead.
Oh, like, especially when you see the scene in this movie, in Dino De Laurentiis' King Kong. Right. Where, King Kong easily breaks through his impenetrable cage at the end, and everybody starts just running in whatever direction they're facing.
The screaming lady who's up super close, who basically is doing the grabbing her throat thing.
She was great.
Yes.
She was great.
I would love to see more.
She deserved some sort of award. So this is interesting. Kong's vocal sounds were recorded by an uncredited, so not all of them, because it was a mix of tigers and some other stuff you could tell, but...
Yeah.
Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It says here, and there's no way to confirm this, but it says here that he strained his throat so badly during recording that he coughed up blood in the studio.
Oh.
Yeah, that's time to roll out.
Yeah. That's why they were embarrassed he didn't get credited.
Yeah. Maybe it gave him his deep, dulcet Optimus Prime.
Optimus,
yeah, because
sure,
he tore all
maybe.
His vocal cords to bits. Let's roll out. Oh, they're just gurgling in blood the whole time he does it. Then finally, Carlo Rambaldi's Mechanical King Kong, still to this day credited as the largest mechanical creature ever created. It is towering at over 40 feet.
Wow.
Just 30 feet under Randy's impression of what they were trying to tell us that he was at height. But 40 is big. That's big.
It's big.
Yep. Well, so the body really laying there, I guess.
You see it one time really well when he after Kong bust out of the cage at the event, when he bust out of there, there's cut back and forth between people screaming, and if you pause it, you will see. And I mean, when you see this thing, you're like, wow, that looks bad. And I guess I don't know why they left that one clip in there, but it's in there, and it looks super weird and stiff and
probably cost a lot of money, and they want to use it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, in 76, who the hell knows? Who knows?
Well, and that's, boy, isn't that the worst trope maker? Shouldn't have used it, had to use it because we'd already got there.
Yeah. Like you've got this huge, you have this huge budget, right? And you've sunk it all into somebody's machine idea. Mm-hmm. You feel forced to, I mean, you have to, right? Or else, what's your justification? Not everyone works like Blizzard, for example. They'll throw a whole game out if they're not happy with it. Like, all that hard work, you got nothing to show for it other than, it's not for us, and they throw it out. Well, I don't know too many film companies that do that. They don't do
that. The thing about films are you start and you make a movie and then you end and then you all go away, right? So, like, a company like Blizzard has the wonderful expectation that if they send people to work on other things, they're still here. They're still, you know what I mean? Like, they learned something. They walked away with some knowledge that they can use on something else.
Yeah, you didn't have them finish Battlefield and then fired half the team, and now they're scattered to the developer wind. And
which
the same
is,
thing, you know, that's what happens with movies, basically.
Right, that's the thing. Like, we worry about video game companies that keep going under or just, you know, losing half their staff for years and years before they get working on the next project.
Yeah.
Think about movie making. Movie making is that every single time. It's 16 weeks of work, and then everybody goes.
Yep, you're out. You may collaborate with a few people, you know, whatever. But for the most part, from crew to executive, you're kind of a very different, you're a different makeup every time, which is just crazy to me.
I sent you guys a link in Skype. I Googled King Kong 1976 robot, and the picture I pulled up is absolutely how horrible that thing looks.
Yeah. Oh, wow, look at that. Oh, this is just like out of my books, dude.
Right?
That's funny.
Oh, weird. Hold on.
A man in a suit looks way better than that.
Wow. Well, and if you haven't seen the movie, listener, go watch, because that King Kong, that horrible King Kong that he's talking about, pops out of a huge gas pump.
Yeah.
Yes, that was so funny, because they portrayed the gas pump as the bad guy. I didn't understand that.
What was it? Petro.
Petro? Petro,
Petrox, wasn't it?
Petrox, you're right.
With an X.
Stupid.
Petrox?
Yeah. It bums me out that CGI is so cheap and easy to do, because with technology the way it is today, I would love to see them do a practical effect for something on a scale this big.
Yeah.
Like a kaiju or a, you know, or some sort of giant monster movie where they don't use CGI, where they actually use some sort of motion cap to giant prosthetic. Heck, maybe they can make a movie of the creation of that or something like that.
Sure, why not?
Oh, it's a monster movie where the thing is out of control and they just use the movie, like they build it.
Yeah.
The image I just sent you guys is essentially, just to put closure on that book I used to have, that is basically exemplary of the entire book. The whole book is like that, those two arms.
Wow.
And describing how it worked. I mean, that's my entire memory of this weird movie.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I did not know this, but during 1977, there was something called the Mighty Peking Man. I guess the meaning the Peking Man, and it was off. It was obviously a King Kong kind of knockoff thing.
The Mighty
Peking Man. I can't even say that either.
Chinese King Kong.
Oh, look at this. Oh, yeah. Oh, good Lord. The face on this thing.
The face on this thing.
That is that translated anywhere? Because that's awesome. Oh, there's a little white lady in it.
Little white lady.
That's great. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, the more you know, the more you learn. You guys want to do some clips? You got anything else?
Yeah.
You're good for clips? Okay. All right.
I got a lot of stuff, but go ahead.
All right. I did have one last thing about where is it? Oh, how classy the reporters are that climbed on his body immediately and started taking pictures. I thought that was cool. And then the heartbeats, I remember that freaking me out when I was young, when they slowly went away.
I'll tell you, the scene where he rolls everybody off the log, that terrified me as a kid.
Oh,
and I remember
that
being a lot bigger.
Which, it's a great scene because, you know, if you would just stay what you're doing, grip on the log, you're fine. And every time someone was like, I'm going to stand up because I'll bet that'll, whoa!
Right? I've done log rolling, not a problem.
Exactly. Yeah, that was kind of that. I remember freaking me out, and this time going, oh, that looks really bad. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. Hey, everybody. Let's talk real quick about audible.com again. audiblepodcast.com/filmsack is where you can go get a free one. Any book you want, any type, any genre, whatever. It's all there for the taking. I'm really into history lately, and as it turns out, there's a bunch of books on audible.com about history that you can get for yourself. For example, The Oregon Trail, America's most famous path to the Western Front. Or frontier, sorry. Here's a little taste.
Acquiring and exploring the West. The object of your mission is to explore the Missouri River and such principal stream of it as by its course and communication with the waters of the Pacific Ocean.
Now, you may find that boring. I don't, because I freaking love history and I'm always into it, especially Western Old West stuff. I freaking love it. And you might too, but it's not that book you have to get for free if you don't want to. You want any book for free of any genre, any type? Go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack today and get a free one. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Big thanks to them for sponsoring the show. All right, here's some clips. Let's start with this one. I wrote, here's the big one.
Well, here's to the big one.
That's like...
Here's to the big one.
Here's
That's
to the
toast.
Big one. Yeah, I guess it's a toast. This is another one.
You know, for some reason, I'm reminded of Amsterdam. You ever eat a raw herring with a beer chaser and a scoop of ice cream?
Okay, you guys recognize Clark Griswold's dad from?
Yes,
bring it right out of my Twitter post.
Ah, damn it! Sorry.
Oh yeah, stole his Twitter post.
I knew that.
Sorry,
I'm
still using it.
All right, keep.
Hey, that was such a trope too, having that three course dinner during a freaking monsoon or whatever.
Right. Well, and the old grizzled captain doesn't notice anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, the guy's all seasick and can't go to the bathroom without coming back all wet or whatever they happened to him.
Right,
there.
Right. And I love how the captain doesn't even say, "What the hell happened to you?" It's like he said, "Yeah, whatever. I know what you did in there." Yeah.
Like, don't worry, Clark. You're a good dad, or whatever he says to Clark. All right,
it's
here's
the toilet water all over you, isn't it?
Here is that guy. By the way, died at 88. Nice long life, that guy.
Yes,
died in 2004, something like that. Here's Hit the Lights,
man. We may be sailing into the history books. Hit the lights.
Wow.
Hit the lights.
That's a great pickup line
I'm
if you're about to get
sailboat.
It on. All right. Let's see. Oh, this what?
We may be sailing into the history books.
That's the same thing. I played it twice. All right. How about let's hear from Odo.
Chemical composition of our mysterious low fog bank. Free hydrocarbon radicals. Excess nitrogen. Carbon dioxide far above normal. Not poisonous. But very damn curious.
Benson!
Yes.
Science terms.
Kira!
He's trying to convince us that the fog covering the island perpetually is evidence. It's there because there's oil there.
Right.
And you would think if that was the case, that would be the case on other islands around the world. And he would just say, you know, just like that other island elsewhere, this is what's going on here. He wouldn't have to make this huge case.
The one where reportedly there isn't a giant ape and an indigenous people who worship him.
Right. Well, you know, NASA spy satellites are spotting those things all the time.
Yeah. We had satellites in 76. What the hell were they doing?
Yeah. Sure. NASA spy satellites, though, for sure.
That's the other reason that Jurassic Park and King Kong and these things don't work so well in a modern setting. We have ways of looking.
Right.
You know,
right.
don't have to send a dude down there in a boat. You just do an overview shot. So the new King Kong being set in the 30s, I think, was kind of smart in that way because nobody knew any better then. It was still unexplored territory. But in Jurassic Park's case, like the second one, Lost World or whatever, no, we know it's spread everywhere because we have satellites, you bunch of dumbasses.
But we're not looking for dinosaurs. Who's out there looking for dinosaurs? Well,
and this is a related
Chris
trope.
Pratt.
Mm. Ooh, related trope. Hold on. All right, go ahead.
But if you, let's just say in 1976, all of these events happened to you and you were the captain of the ship or the president of the company that came up on a desert island, not a desert island, but a tropical island that had a big ape on it. Isn't there like a international law that you got to radio somebody, make a phone call and say, you know, hey, no. Mr. President, we found this thing.
Is it okay if we bring a giant ape back to,
they're above the
back
law
to the mainland. Is that cool?
Yeah.
He said, his lobbying money. That's how he got there to begin with, the lobbying money to the president.
I totally get that. No, totally get that. It just seems to me like there would be some other story here.
Well, you're absolutely right. And that's why I don't think making it a modern tale works. You can't do it, especially if you try to do it today. Like in 76, that is what they were doing. They're saying, all right, what if this happened in 76? We get modern, aircraft and modern everything. This is the world today. Mm-hmm. That starts to fall apart for me because then it's really in a vacuum and there's no way any of this would have gotten past anybody. And also there was, for a New York that was New York 76, there was nobody around. It's like eight people out there in that crowd. Like, that was ridiculous.
But apparently, Jessica Lange smelled like some pretzels or something because King Kong took one step out into the streets and went, and he smelled her coming on the L train about 6 miles away.
She's in a bar. Yep.
Like a pretzel.
I don't usually swim, but here I go.
I like your pretzel idea. All right, here's a lying hippie. Grodin angry acting. Sorry.
What the hell are you talking about?
There you go. What the hell? Okay, here's a lying hippie.
You lying hippie. You're from another oil company. How did you know about this? All right, man, the meeting is over.
I like, it's like six sentences in one.
Very believable style, though. That's what makes Charles Grodin so believable as the everyman.
Yeah, right. That's basically him. Didn't he host? He had a talk show for a while, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah.
Like the Charles Grodin, like took over for...
It sounds familiar.
The guy on after Letterman that died gave Letterman his break on CBS. Yeah.
I can't. It is the Charles Grodin Show on CNBC.
Oh, CNBC.
CNBC, 1996 to, it's weird. There's no ending date. Is it still going on?
It's because it's still on, fools.
You know, I want to tune in and see if we can see Obama on the Charles Grodin Show tonight. Yeah, I don't think it's going on still.
It can't be, yeah, but it's funny. IMDb listed as 1996 to current.
Forever. Or, you know. Great. Way to go, IMDb. Always accurate. So, never wrong.
It's so weird that an internet service provider bought a massive media conglomerate.
Yeah.
I just can't ever get over that.
Well, they did. That was a combo thing, though, right? Like the original MSNBC was a Microsoft.
Well, that was a software developer buying a massive media conglomerate.
Yeah, but they didn't buy NBC. They bought into that one thing, and that was all they got because at the time GE and then later Comcast now owns all of it. But
I was thinking of AOL Time Warner.
Oh, right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It is weird.
That's how it went.
That is weird. There's more of that happening now, too. Like weird companies buying weird shit.
There's going to be less of it. It's going to all merge into one mountain company.
Yeah, it'll be called Disney / Elon Musk. That'll be your big company.
Disney.
PayPal Disney. All right, here's your quit horsing around.
Oh, will you quit horsing around?
Oh, yeah, forget about that. That's when he spotted her off the port bow. Yep. He was like, is there something out there?
Well, they were trying to throw the dude off the boat for some reason.
Well, they were quitting him in the hold, right?
Yeah. Was that right? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Here's Odo making a sound that I still don't know what he was doing, so you guys can help me here. So here's Odo making a sound. There you go.
I think I'll smoke my pipe.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, do you know when King Kong was the shortest in the movie?
No.
By my reckoning?
No.
King Kong was the shortest when he's inside the tanker ship.
Oh, yes, right.
He's so small inside the tanker ship.
Don't mind me. Tankers are huge. Sure. They are really big. I've kayaked around tankers in Vancouver. It's unbelievable how tall they are.
Wow,
I
dude.
I tell you about the time I went kayaking.
That's an amazing tale. Were you like...
And they're all like, get away from here.
It's like freaking Chuck Norris on a weekend. That's amazing.
You're in a kayak in an inlet near a port, and tankers are coming and going.
It sounds like, I'm going around the big ship in my... I don't know. For whatever reason, it sounds awesome.
Are you part of Greenpeace, Andy? Is that what I'm hearing here?
But my point is, tankers, let's just say a tanker's 100 feet tall. It's not. But imagine if it was 100 feet tall. Like, they made King Kong look like he's just in there at the very bottom, taking up the bottom like 10 feet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They made that. What it did to me is didn't make him seem small. It made the ship seem way too big.
Yeah.
Like, just ridiculously deep.
That, but yeah, it totally feels so out of proportion. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It created some cool depth, though. I think it looked all right, except when she fell and he caught him in that terrible-looking way. That looked really bad.
Right, but putting King Kong at basically the bottom of a well doesn't help me with enjoying the movie. I just felt weird, that whole scene.
What'd you say, boy? King Kong's in a well. Here's, nope, not that, sorry. Guys, what? I don't know what this is.
Fingerprints. Guy's kosher.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay.
How do you say her name?
I'm Dwan. D-W-A-N, Dwan. That's my name. You know, like Don, except I switched two letters.
She's terrible in this.
Yeah. Well, no, she's supposed to be Ditzy. The character is Ditzy.
I know. I don't mean that the actress is bad. I'm saying she was asked to do something bad.
Right, yeah, right.
It's just
that
bad.
I can buy it. And you know, I didn't realize how disgusting it sounded either. When I saw the visuals of Jessica Lange there, it's good. But it's like,
hold
listening
on, I'm
to
having
a,
some taffy.
Yeah,
taffy. Right? I spell it T-F-A-A-Y-E with a smiley face.
See, I switched the letters around. Here's what? Oh,
that looks as old as the pyramids of Egypt.
Cav, this is where I want to say something about Charles Grodin. I think that while they were in the island area, that they overdubbed him with someone else's voice.
You think so? No, yeah. I think that was him.
I don't think that was him. I'm going to play it one more time.
That looks as old as the pyramids of Egypt.
I don't think that's him. Now,
it doesn't sound like him.
There's more, so maybe we'll you know, we can try again here, but we'll get to more of him in a second. Here's the sound of yelling. It's So there's some Peter Cullen in there, I guess. I don't know.
You know what? You just made me dread the upcoming Jurassic World movie.
A lot of that.
You know there's going to be a lot of that. That's guaranteed.
Yeah, and there's going to be pterodactyls, the flying dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Shut up. I can't say it.
I know.
Yeah.
Pterodactyl, Brian, say it.
Pterodactyl.
That's amazing.
I can't say it.
Pterodactyl. Try it again.
Just no, it hurts. It hurts. I'm not doing it.
Peter Pterodactyl.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what I was gonna say about Jurassic Park? It's the modern. It's our version. It's what it's King Kong for a new day, really.
Right.
Yeah, I thought about that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just lose the third movie altogether, I'm gonna call it Jurassic Park 4 anyway. But if you lose the third movie altogether, the first two are so old now that it's a whole new generation of filmmakers.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think 3 is not as bad as people say, though. I actually don't hate 3.
Now, 2 is when they brought back... 2 is the stinker, right?
That was
the
I didn't like 2 at all. I hated 2.
And they brought them back to San Francisco, right? Isn't that...
Yep.
Isn't that the deal?
Yep. They brought a T-Rex back.
Right.
I don't know how... or I don't remember how it went. They put him in a tanker. Same deal.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that Chaos Boy over there was, like, trying to stop it the whole time. And they had a joke about, oh, there's a dinosaur in the pool, and it's woken the neighbor kid up. That sucked. That movie sucked. I'm with you on the Spielberg hate for that movie and Crystal Skull. Those are the two I can't do. But I think 3 is not as bad as people think. I think Mr. Lundegaard's really good in it. I like him.
Well, I don't think you can make a Jurassic Park movie without lots and lots of dinosaurs screaming and IMAX movie theaters deafening people.
I agree.
I just hope that this film doesn't have too much of what has infected all of these movies, which is tales told from the perspective of the brainy 10-year-olds. I just hope we stick with Chris Pratt and Ron Howard's daughter, and that's enough.
Who's making the who's making this new one? Who's directing? It is Colin.
Chris Pratt. He's acting in it, directing it. They just turned the whole thing over to him. He's doing some of the dinosaur noises.
Colin Trevorrow, he has done previous to this, Safety Not Guaranteed, Gary Under Crisis, Reality Show, and something called Home Base. None of which I've heard of. So he's got his whole career is really quite on the line here. Oh, it's got Judy Greer in it. No one told me that.
Mm-hmm. She's in the preview. She says, if anything's chasing you,
run. She's on the new poster. Wow. Good job, Judy Greer.
Yeah. And in every other TV show the last 5 years.
I love her. I'm a big fan.
I like hooked her with a heart of gold, Judy Greer from Californication.
I like her on, her Arrested Development thing is the best. Kitty.
Oh, yeah.
So
right.
Good. So good.
She had a TV show where she was a counselor in a high school.
It was undateable or
undeclared
married
undeclared
mismanaged or something like that.
Wow,
it was some negative word.
It was a play on words. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's too bad it didn't last. Now it's all down to raptors
snarky friend.
Yeah, whatever Chris Pratt says, those raptors do apparently now. Here's something about mule pee.
Till then, you'd get better mileage filling up your Cadillac with mule piss.
Oh, Odo.
Yeah, is there such a thing as new oil? Because it isn't like all petroleum.
New locations for it, but not new oil. You're right.
Well, I guess the idea was it's supposed to be fossil.
Otherwise,
fuels.
It's just squashed plankton and goo, right? Like dinosaur goo.
Yeah. I think it's all about locations. I don't think he could look at, what you're saying is right. You couldn't look at a new deposit and say, in 10,000 years, this will be oil. I think that's BS.
Right. Because it wouldn't look like oil right now. It'd look like
something totally different than oil.
A bubbling goo in the middle of a.
Yeah. The guy doesn't have some meter. He didn't stick a meter in the ground, pull it out, and have it say, 10,000 years until it's oil. It didn't happen that way. Right. That was terrible. Right. Here's the mute guy from Superman 2. He actually talks.
Okay, Jack, you go first.
There you go. Jack O'Halloran.
I love when a character's name in a movie is Jack because they get to say all those things that sound very sarcastic. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah.
Whatever, Jack.
Yep, totally.
Step down, Jack.
By the way, the director of this film did one of the Shaft movies. Shaft in Africa, I think it's called.
Shaft in Africa.
Is it Africa?
Shaft goes to camp.
Shaftrica. Yeah, no. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. It is called Shaft in Africa, 1973, came before this. P.I. John Shaft is recruited to go undercover to break up a modern slavery ring where young Africans are lured to Paris in a chain gang work group.
What?
Yeah, how great is that? Richard Roundtree, back at it, doing what he does.
I'm so confused.
Probably the only other movie that I recognized in here at all were two movies. Sheena, which I have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And where's the other one? Towering Inferno, which came out just before King Kong. Mm-hmm. That's it. I know nothing else in here. Hold on, skip down. Yeah, there's literally nothing else.
Yeah.
And apparently he's not dead because it doesn't say he's died, but he was born in 25. So there you go.
So odds are getting slim.
Yeah, they're getting slimmer by the minute. All right, what else here? We got a few more here. How about this one? Here you go.
Look at that Exxon campaign. We'll put a tiger in your tank. It did zillions with just a paper tiger.
That's not, I swear that's not Grodin.
I'm totally
it,
drunk.
It really
right
doesn't
now.
Sound like it, but I'd like to point out how the entire movie hinges on that.
Yeah.
That one line.
Right. Yeah.
The whole movie. If you take that line away, it makes no sense that they would bring this ape back to New York City.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Which even makes me wonder more if they did it in post and it was somebody else because they were long after production and they had to get some little piece of plot tie in there. That's kind of where my head's at.
Quick, do your best Grodin impression.
Because his voice wouldn't, I mean, his mouth didn't match up or anything. It's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's weird to think nowadays it doesn't really matter where your actor is in the world. Yeah. You can have them record something.
It still annoys me when a director thinks they can get away with turning an actor's face away from me and then saying something, and I can obviously tell the jawline is not matching up. Mm-hmm. There's still a weak point there. It's like, no, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, didn't seem right. All right, does this sound like the MASH guy to you? Here he is.
Monkey plotted 1,800 yards west by northwest, heading 089. Velocity 22 miles per hour.
I'm convinced.
They're cutting down trees in South Korea.
Yeah.
Toe.
I'm convinced that's him. They're moving the camp because Frank was crazy. That episode made him move the camp.
Right.
Tonight's movie will be a screening of...
It was always a movie. Yeah, tonight's right, movie's been canceled in favor of another Jock Itch thing or whatever.
You need that filter, though, if you're going to impersonate that voice.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, right. I don't have it. I have this one.
Give it to us.
Tonight's movie is going to be shown in the mess hall.
That makes you sound like you're the only person in the theater.
Yeah.
There are no strings on me.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Spoiler.
By the way, weren't you just so glad that Disney owns Marvel so Ultron could quote Pinocchio over and over and over?
Yeah, doing that. I gotta say a quick thing. We're not going to spoil anything or say anything about that movie other than I want to say this. They misrepresented Ultron in the commercials. In the trailers. Mm-hmm. He is nothing like what they showed him to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It bugged me.
You're saying they underrepresent him probably, right?
I think they just misrepresented. I mean, they gave me a version that didn't happen in the movies.
Ooh, we'll have to talk about this after the show.
Because I felt like Ultron was almost perfectly represented in the commercials as James Spader represents him. Like James Spader puts this spin on the character that's just, it blows my mind and I love it and I wanted hours more of just him saying his weird crap.
Well, they definitely didn't have enough of him in the movie, but he just isn't the same as what the trailers made him seem like this ominous, dark,
spoiler people
guy, and he's not that at all. Like he's funnier. It's all jokey almost the entire time.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio and James Spader are my two new favorite Marvel additions.
Oh, really? Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only problem I have with him is he didn't have enough punch because they didn't have him on enough. Like, that movie's got some pacing problems, but we can talk about it later.
Here's my attempt to blow your mind based on the Age of Ultron film, and I hope that a lot of people listening at home have seen it, but I'm not going to spoil it. This blows my mind too, right here. So, the girl... The Scarlet Witch in this movie.
Yeah. Elizabeth Olsen, sister to the twins.
26 years old.
Yeah.
26 years old. She's the Olsen twins' little sister.
Yeah. Yes. And the one that can act, by the way.
Yeah. The most talented sister.
Yeah.
If you don't feel old when you hear that Elizabeth Olsen is 26,
yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with
her. I like her a lot. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't she and the Quicksilver guy, that actor, weren't they both in the Godzilla reboot? I want to say they were.
Yeah, he was the primary. Yeah. Well, he was definitely there because he was the primary actor. He was the
Godzilla.
Spoiler,
if you really want me to blow your mind, the Quicksilver from this movie and the Quicksilver from the Days of Future Past played together in Kick-Ass.
What?
Right. True story.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. This Quicksilver was definitely in Kick-Ass. He was.
Yeah.
I knew that. That I knew. But Aaron Taylor Thompson, who's the dude in this and was Quicksilver. Johnson, sorry.
He's related to you, dude.
Oh, my gosh. I have to do some genealogy there. Him and her, it's just weird that they were a married couple in Godzilla and then they're siblings in this thing.
Sister, brother, and sister. Yeah, I didn't realize that. That's a good one.
That's weird. Anyway, they are also underdeveloped, but we can talk
about
that later.
Also, if you want to feel old, Kick-Ass himself, Aaron Taylor Johnson, was born in the 90s.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah, 1990. Jeez.
Wow. So he was born the
teenagers in their damn movies.
Here's a way to look at it. He was born the year after The Wizard came out. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I need to go take a nap.
All right. What are we doing here? Oh, yeah. A couple more. Sorry. How about this one right here? Blah, 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 something, something. Here you go.
I'm a star.
It's all set, Jack. Coast to coast tour. We open in New York. Lights, cameras, Kong. And probably Nureyev and Fontaine. I'm personally working on a deal for Balanchine to choreograph the Beauty and the Beast. Any chance of you two kids getting married?
So there you
Charles Grodin coughed up blood after that line.
Yeah, right? Forget about what's his name. Peter Cullen. That was more of a Grodin thing.
Right.
And I think that was Charles Grodin. So they switched back and forth. I don't know. I don't want to say too much about that, but I think they had a different dude.
I think he sounds different on the soundstage versus out in the environment.
Like,
I think this is
like, I know that was Charles Grodin, but the clip you just played, he sounded like Rip Taylor.
I'm going to throw some confetti. Maybe more of a Charles Nelson Riley. I don't know.
Center square for the win. Here, all right, here you go. Here's something about an idiot.
You big idiot.
All right, great. I like that one. Horrible acting screaming lady. Here you go. She really got her paycheck.
That lady, I love her.
Someone on Twitter said they think this is the screamiest episode of anything we've ever covered. And they may be right.
Might be.
Yeah. It's certainly the one of the noisiest movies we've ever done.
Yeah.
At least parts of it.
So have we done a monster movie with the screaming?
Have we?
I can't think of one.
Not like this. I don't think.
Not this much screaming. No, this is a lot of screaming.
Here's one that I have to put something on the tail of, and you'll know what it is when I play it. So here you go.
Damn it, do we have a deal?
Yes, Professor, we have a deal.
What kind of a deal?
There you go. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. Had to do it. Okay, so what? Oh, I was going to say, this does not sound like an ape. So listen very carefully. There's no ape happening here. That may have been Peter Cullen doing a cat.
Right, right.
At the end there.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think it matters.
If you're expecting a big giant cat.
Yeah.
If you're expecting a big giant ape.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Fletcher sent us a couple of extras.
You goddamn chauvinist pig ape.
There you go.
Pig ape. Yeah, but she goes off on Kong and it goes over a little emotional roller coaster. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Here's another one.
You work at Attila de Midnight?
That's based on a guy I used to work for. It's got nothing to do with this.
Attila de Midnight.
Ibbets heard that before. Did that on the morning show a few times.
Yeah.
That takes care of your clips, which is great because now the checklist. Giant smelly ape no one seems to smell. Check. Way better cinematography than you expect. Check. I thought some of that stuff was beautiful. I was surprised. Like some of the island shots were amazing.
Great shots.
Yeah. Hawaii.
Yeah, it was really, really nice.
Beautiful part of Hawaii right there.
Kind of hard to take out the towers in post 9/11 world. Check. Got it. Perfect. Star Trek connections. Oh, crap. I forgot to pull these up. I'll do this real fast. Hold on. Daryl.
Is there more than
Daryl
one?
Daryl in here. Kong. I don't remember if he had. There we go. Films, SAC, Track Connections, King Kong. Here we go. 76. Rene Auberjonois.
Of course.
Who played Roy Bagley? He was Odo.
You can just
of course.
Stop there.
Yeah, I can stop there.
That's really the only important one.
There's a bunch of others, but they're all extras, including Ed Lauder, who you guys would know him. He's the guy. What part did it
matter,
though?
We've seen him in a lot of stuff. He's
usually a corrupt cop or some right. sort of government
man. Right.
You know, that guy. Anyway, he was in it. And Corbin Burnson was a reporter in this. Did you guys catch him? Did you see him? Yeah, Corbin Burnson in the crowd. Very early his career. This is long. It wasn't credited even. But he is a reporter. I guess he was credited, but it was a very small role. Was a reporter, and he played, obviously, Q2 in the episode Deja Q in 1990. And L.A. Law and everything else he ever did.
But was there ever been a worse walk-on than Q2?
That was pretty bad, wasn't it?
It was horrible.
My memory of that.
Corbin Burnson is suddenly on a runabout with Q.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible.
That was a strange. Yeah, it was very strange. He does. He does Kirk Cameron movies now. The Born Again Jesus movies.
The God
movies. Doesn't Nick Cage?
They're super religious, like.
Right.
Like never. Like what's? I don't know who. Well, I do know who he's playing to. He's playing to big white megachurch audiences. I think is where who that goes to. I don't know how much that plays in the South, but
Am I wrong to want to watch Left Behind, the new one, on FilmSack with you guys?
Yes, you are wrong.
On FilmSack? Yeah, I don't want to see that.
I saw that in the popular on Netflix. I was like, wow, okay.
Is that on Netflix? Is streaming?
Yeah, it's Nick Cage.
Nick Cage?
Yeah,
I think we need to see it.
Okay, you got me convinced. Maybe we do want to see that. I mean, we run the risk of like having, you know, I don't know how many ardent Christian fans we have on the thing who may think this stuff is like gospel or something.
It toes the line so hard.
You think
man,
we've already pissed them off?
About it.
Well, I mean, maybe we have. But my point is like half the fun of watching that will be just how hard they push agenda, because that's what movie's all about, right?
And it should be. But I've seen it and they've Hollywooded it up a lot.
Have that.
I mean, they stripped
probably
a lot.
Probably had to, right? Exactly.
Yeah,
make it
they stripped a lot
appeal
of it
to a wider audience.
Is it
sure.
convincingly so? Like, I mean, what I mean by that is, like, does the action, is it good or is it okay?
It's not a good. It's
Shark,
not a good movie. It's just not a good movie.
It's like
period.
Sharknado.
Is it a good film sack movie?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
I could be wrong. You guys take a look at it.
Sharknado was amazing for film sack.
I agree. You win this one, Nick Cage. We'll have to see you in The Wicker Man or something else.
Yeah. Wicker Man, that's a good one.
You're safe for now.
Yeah. All right, let's see. What's next? Oh, a soundtrack grade. I give it a KO for Kinda Okay. There's a certain riff in it that I really like that kind of sounded like its own thing and was kind of cool, but it was overall just kind of not that memorable. It's fine, though. Mm-hmm.
Except
job.
For the screeching clarinets.
When
showed up, that was annoying.
Did they? I don't remember what the point. When was that?
The screeching clarinets when they were getting Blondie ready for her date, and before Kong showed up, when he finally showed up in like 54 minutes in.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, Scott, the Nicolas Cage movie that people have been calling for us to sack that is streaming is National Treasure.
Oh, can we do one or two? Sure. Is two out? Because two
just one is streaming.
All right, two has a reference to me in it that a fan who worked on the production did, and I want to see. Haven't seen it personally, like up front, but. Somebody capped it, and there's a newspaper that Ed Harris is holding up in that second one, and it has a big, huge blurb at the bottom of the paper that's obviously fake and stuff, but it's referencing my website and Scott Johnson cartoonist, this and that. It's pretty cool to know that, but I've never seen the movies. I have no idea if it's even in there for real. I mean, I've just been told. So we'll see. One, sure, why not? National Treasure, I'm in. That sounds all right.
All right,
it's the Twitter post. It's where you guys in 140 characters or less wrap this thing up. Let's start with Randy.
King Kong. It's a huge ape, and it was somehow coexisting on an island with a bunch of natives and a fort. Then the white man comes, and that's when things get weird in bed.
Right.
All right. I like it. Also, Dunaway.
King Kong, like trading 6 chocolates for 1 vanilla. The dude does not abide.
Very nice. And now, Brian Ibbett with his rendition of A Thing I Nearly Blew Earlier. Go.
King Kong. Dude, none. Odo. dude, none, Odo, dude, none, Odo, dude, none, Odo, Clark Griswold, like oh, Clark Griswold Sr. Dang it, I tongue twisted it.
That's all right.
Sing it again.
We knew where we were going. I liked it. There you go. Nicely done. Oh, we have an alternate title. Hold on. Where's the thing? Here we go. Let's know this. It's Monkey Lip Punch 76, or I think we should just stand here and watch him as he destroys this wall and not run.
Did you see how his mustache pubes jiggled around when she punched him in the face? That was disgusting.
I did. They weren't there except in that one punch scene.
Yeah.
So, good work. Special effects men who got an apology recognition at the end of the movie. We got one email. It's in the form of not an email, but a phone call, and it's recommendations, and I'm going to play it for you now. So here it is.
Hello, Film Sack. My name is Jeremiah. I'd like to offer up the animated movie Wizards for a proper sacking. Post-apocalyptic setting for a timeless tale of technology versus magic, featuring an elf warrior, half-naked fairy princess, senile wizard, and an android assassin. It also features the first appearance by Mark Hamill, and I'm not sure if he did anything afterwards. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
That sounds all right.
So, this is not the first time this has been suggested, and I have a hard time finding it. It's not streaming on Netflix. Mm. It's possible to like buy it on Amazon, but I just don't have, I don't know, I don't have a connection for us and for the listeners to watch it. I can't find that.
What's the full title again?
Ralph Bakshi thing, right? Wasn't it?
Mm. It's just Wizards. Yes, just Ralph Bakshi.
Yeah.
Wizards.
It's an animated film, and people love to suggest animated films because we made a challenge.
Yeah.
Thanks to a recommendation by Gnomewise, I picked up Rock and Rule, which is an animated film about the future and rock bands and stuff that I would love to see streaming.
Yeah.
To the point where we could test it.
Oh, you're right. This is totally a Ralph Bakshi joint. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's still alive. Cool.
Good for him. Sweet. Good news for him.
You got your Fever and Ellis, Fritz the Cat, Lord of the Rings, and Wizards are the ones he's known for.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's he done lately? Oh, he's still got a movie going. Last Days of Coney Island is filming right now.
Hmm.
Good job, Ralph Bakshi. Yes, Randy, go ahead.
Speaking of Netflix streaming, did anybody notice that Badass 2 is on Netflix?
Yeah, but I heard that sucks. I never saw it because nobody told me it was any good. Like, people who loved the first one hated 2. Is 2 any good? Well, no. Sorry. I'm thinking of Kick-Ass 2. Sorry.
I was about to say, I hadn't heard anything about the second
one. My bad.
Yeah, I'm shocked that there's a Badass 2, just for starters. Like, it blows my mind. Like, didn't we see enough of Danny Trejo in a beard?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the Danny Trejo gets angry, basically. Yeah.
And this is the Danny Glover one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And they're both in it, right? Danny Glover and
Danny Glover is the new badass.
I hate to tell you guys this, but Badass 3 is actually already out as well.
Yes.
What?
Badass 3, Badass is in the Bayou is it's called.
Badass 3 is not streaming. Badass 2 is.
Yeah. Same director, so that'll be terrible. Yep. Maybe we should see it. I'm all right with 2. We could watch that. Put it on the list. What are we seeing next week, actually? Do we know?
Next week, we're going to watch, and we talked about this a lot, we're going to watch Leprechaun 4 in space.
Yes. That's the right one. It's the right thing to do.
I'm starting to feel a little sick. I don't know if I'm going to be here next week.
No, you'll be here, dude.
Oh, damn it.
Leprechaun in space. Think about that. Think about that. Why would we ever miss that opportunity? Or as they call him,
Windiggy.
All right, great. That's great. Everyone look forward to that next week. Leprechaun 4. What's it? Is that the title? Is it something?
Leprechaun 4 in space.
It says in space as part of the title.
Yes, Leprechaun 4 in space.
But that implies there's other Leprechaun 4s that are not in space.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah, that's even better. Great.
We're going to have fun talking about that idea.
I can't wait. It'll be fantastic. In the meantime, if you'd like to share your phone call with us or an email, you can do that. The email address is filmsack@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 801-471-0462. We are at FilmSack on Twitter. FilmSack.com is our web site. And I think that's everything else. You guys think of anything else? That it? I think that's for me, for Randy, for Brian, and for this shit movie. We'll see you next time.
Because I no give them crap.
What's going on over there?
The show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more
at frogpants.com. Boom, 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 boom.